This podcast is brought to you by Men's Tee Clinic. Men's Tee Clinic is the team I trust with my total wellness optimization, and so should you. Five DFW locations with North Frisco, El Dorado Parkway at Dallas North Tollway now open. Call 972-GO-MEN'S-TEE or visit mensteeclinic.com.
Okay, we're coming out of the combine. Is there a better idea now in Dane's head who's going to be available at 19? And who would you take if you're the Cowboys front office and you're sitting there looking at that board? We got another chance to win $1,000 coming up in 51 minutes from now. Another chance to win a grand. Segment here brought to you by GetMortgageReady.com, and it's brought to you by 1-800-LAWYERS. If you have been hurt in an accident and it's not your fault, call the office of Frankel & Frankel at 800-LAWYERS, the strong army of attorneys to fight for you. Principal office, Dallas, Texas. Here he is. He's at DP Brugler on Twitter, the great Dane Brugler. And a good morning to you, Dane.
Good morning, guys. How are we doing today?
Doing fantastic, thanks.
We're rocking and rolling, Dane. I saw you've got a new top 50 out for the top 50 prospects in the draft. How much did you have change because of the combine?
There was a little bit. The top seven did not change for me. Quentin Nelson, one. Minkah Fitzpatrick, two. Bradley Saquon Barkley, Sam Darnold, Denzel Ward, and then Roquan Smith. So those seven players were my top seven back in January, and they remain my top seven. Honestly, I'd be surprised if they change between now and the draft. But after that, there was a little bit of shuffling as we try to, you know, differentiate these players. A player like Jaire Alexander, the corner from Louisville, he really helped himself at the combine. He moved up from 19 to 13 on my board. Maurice Hurst, the defensive tackle from Michigan, dealing with the heart condition. His draft status is kind of on hold right now, depending on the second, third opinions, you know, what's going on there. Harold Landry, the pass rusher from Boston College, he's definitely on the rise with what he did at the combine. A player who was outstanding as a junior at Boston College, led the FBS in sacks with 16.5, also had 7 forced fumbles, returned for a senior year, and he was kind of the forgotten guy because he was hurt most of the year with an ankle injury. So Harold Landry, he's a first-round player. He'd be an interesting discussion for the Cowboys at 19 if he were there. He's a little undersized, and we know how the Cowboys like their defensive ends to fit in that neat little box of with the measurements and the size dimensions. But the goal is to get after the quarterback, and Harold Landry is cut from the same cloth as players like Von Miller, Vic Beasley, that type of pass rusher.
All right, this is going to be a long question, but it has to do with one of the guys you just named, Jaire Alexander, cornerback, Louisville. You have him as the 13th best prospect, and I wonder if you're the Cowboys, because these corners could go in a couple of different orders, but let's say Jaire Alexander is there at 19, and you have a first-round grade on him, which I don't know if they do, but we both definitely do. That guy is there. You've said you're moving Byron Jones to corner, so your corners are going to be Cheeto, Lewis, Byron. Your best player available is a corner. It's a valuable position. Byron's in his last year. Would you pull the trigger on that?
I would have a tough time doing it. It's kind of like offensive line as well. You look at the team needs a left guard, but is that really the direction you want to go in the first round? And same with corner, you have such a deep, might not have that clear number one corner, but it's a deep group on your depth chart. And you invested 2 second-day picks last year in the position. And so I think to invest a first-round pick this year, even if he's the best player on your board, I don't know if that fits what's best for the team, both short-term and long-term. You know, even if Byron Jones isn't in the cards long-term, even if this is his final year as a Cowboy, Anthony Brown is still in the mix. I don't think we are completely giving up on him. So I don't know. I would be hesitant to go corner there with the current makeup of the roster. I think I would go in a different direction. But listen, Jaire Alexander is a fun player. His coach, Bobby Petrino, called him basically the Lamar Jackson of the defense with what he does. But, you know, he's not a perfect player either. He's only 5'10", not the biggest guy. Half of this past season with a knee injury. So not a clean prospect either, where it's a no doubt about it. But he is still a first-round player.
So how many positions, if you're drafting for the Cowboys, do you have? Not that – I don't think you're saying that you wouldn't take that if it was clearly the best player and you can't trade down, but how many different positions do you have where you're sort of like, I would prefer not to use my first-round pick here?
You definitely can, I think, eliminate a few quarterbacks, running back. Me personally, I would eliminate offensive line just because unless it's Quentin Nelson, I'm not drafting any of these guys. I'd rather address that need in free agency, find myself a capable left guard, and my offensive line is set. Maybe draft a swing tackle later that can provide some depth. So I think those positions on offense, on defense, probably really just corner. I would prefer not to, but you look at safety, obviously the need, we'll see with what happens in free agency, possible trade, Earl Thomas, who knows, but where we stand right now, safety, linebacker, anywhere on the defensive line, definitely fair game.
He's Dane Brugler here with us on the Fan at DP Brugler on Twitter. Where'd you come out on that Calvin Ridley lack of explosiveness at the combine?
Jeff and I touched on this on Trust the Tape earlier this week. We both agree that, if he didn't have the best jumps, the vertical and the broad, but, when you look at his game and what he does best, his strengths, it's the play speed, the route running, and the ability to get open, and that matches what he did in the 4.43 40-yard dash and is under sub-7 three-cone drill. So for me, his workout matched exactly what I saw on the tape and exactly why I believe he's the top wide receiver this year and why it should be in consideration at 19 for the Cowboys. And, I think the biggest worry with him is the number that the combine that was most important was the weight. And at 189 pounds, that's really the biggest concern for me, going over the middle, taking a big hit along the sideline, just being able to hold up with the durability over a 16-game schedule for, the next how many years. That would be my biggest worry with Calvin Ridley. But nothing that he did on the field would change my opinion. I think I'd put it at 50-50 right now that Calvin Ridley could be available at 19. And if he's there, I don't think they should pass.
Okay, well, I'm going to agree with Jeff here, Dane, because I see how hard Jeff works and how much time he puts in at the Star, and I know you're putting in a whole bunch of time yourself. But if you look at Kevin Turner's mock draft, if you look at what Jeff kind of says about the depth of this wide receiver market, there's going to be so many good wide receivers in the second round. So why not, even if Calvin Ridley is there, and I know that, you got to stick to your board, but I guess Jeff's point is there could be a guy pretty much just as good or just barely below Calvin Ridley, and it may be another position, let's just say defensive tackle or safety or cornerback, that if you get to 50, there's going to be a drop-off from that position 19 to 50 where there won't be as much from Calvin Ridley to a second round wide receiver.
No, and that's a valid point because it is a deep wide receiver group. My counter argument to that would be, I think there's more of a gap between Calvin Ridley and who you're going to get at pick 50. And, because DJ Moore from Maryland, not going to be there. He's going to go late first, early second. We don't know what other receivers are going to be there. And I think part of the appeal with Calvin Ridley is he can step in from day one and help your team. You're going to get a better idea of who Dak Prescott is, of his development, where a lot of the receivers that you're looking at in the second round, whether it's a Dante Pettis, a Michael Gallup, a James Washington, I think there's going to be a little more of a learning curve where they're not going to help from day one. They're going to be eased into the offense, and it might take until we're halfway through the season before they're ready to make a big impact, where with Calvin Ridley, he's starting from game one, and I think he's going to make an impact right away. So for me, that's part of the appeal. And I think there's a little bit more of a gap between Ridley and that whatever tier of receivers you're looking at pick 50.
All right, Dane, somebody apparently asked LSU running back Darius Geis at the combine if he likes men. So the guys who are in charge of NFL teams and running these interviews that are really, really good at their job, supposedly, that's the best way they could figure out to get him out of his comfort zone?
Yeah, look, the league has come out and they've said that the line of questioning is inappropriate. They said it in the past. They said it about this incident. So we'll see how they handle this. It won't be surprising if there's an investigation, to weed it out, make an example of whoever did it. But I'll play a devil's advocate for a second. And, the goal of a scout or any evaluator is to do so much homework that there won't be any surprises when you draft a player and, he's on your team, he's a part of your franchise, he's a representation of what you're building, the goal is to not have any surprises, to minimize risk. And so while many believe those types of questions are wrong, I can understand from a scout's perspective, because they're just trying to do their homework, their due diligence. And it's a divisive issue for a lot of people, especially in certain parts of the country. And there is also the legal side of things. I don't know if these meetings would qualify as letter of the law job interviews. So it's kind of murky from a legal side as well. But, you know, from a team perspective, really these questions are meant to draw players offsides. Something as simple as, would you rather be a cat or a dog? It could be something a little more personal that's tried to catch players off guard, like this question. But it's all kind of psychological techniques. But regardless, the NFL, they've responded and said it's wrong, and we'll see if they take any further steps.
Saquon Barkley is currently, according to Bovada, the favorite to be picked number one overall. How awful would that be as a pick?
I cannot envision a scenario where my team, whoever my team is, would draft Saquon Barkley and I'd be upset. The Cowboys drafted Saquon Barkley. I cannot envision a scenario where I'd be upset because he's such a good player. He's so explosive with the ball in his hands. He makes your offense better immediately. Now, you might disagree. He might not be the best pick, and that would be kind of my feeling with the Browns at number one. It just comes down for Cleveland. Is there a quarterback in this draft that they believe can help lead them to the playoffs? And if there is, it's a no-brainer pick. You take that quarterback. But if they don't love any of these quarterbacks, if they're not completely smitten with Josh Rosen or Sam Darnold or any of these guys, it's pretty much a marriage. You know, you don't go into a marriage, you know, liking your partner. You better love your partner because it's a big investment. And with the taking a quarterback number one overall, you better get it right. And if you don't feel great about it, then you best go in a different direction. And if the Browns decide to do that, then maybe they trade out, maybe they stay put, and they take Barkley. We might disagree, but again, I can't envision a scenario where I'd be upset having Saquon Barkley on my team.
Dane Brugler with us. I'd like to know a little bit more about Harold Landry before we let you go. Could you maybe compare and contrast or rank him coming out of college compared to Tank and Taco and Randy, the last three QB hunters they've brought in from the draft there?
Yeah, and, you know, we talk about how the Cowboys look for a specific type of defensive end with the size dimension, but when you look at DeMarcus Lawrence, his size dimensions aren't that different than Harold Landry. He's a little longer with his arm length, but they're both, you know, 6'2.5", 258 pounds, you know, right in that mix. So there's not a big drop-off from DeMarcus Lawrence to Harold Landry. I think the biggest, you know, when we talk about on the field, Harold Landry has that first-step burst where he has the flexibility, he can dip the cornering moves to get around the tackle. He's very good at that. Over the last, I think, 5 years, only three college football players have recorded three sacks three different times: Myles Garrett, Derek Barnett, and then Harold Landry. He's a big time pass rusher and get after the quarterback. Now, he does have some hiccups as a run defender, and I think that's where these other pass rushers the Cowboys have gone after, they've been better against the run. But Harold Landry, I could argue, is better versus the pass than all three of them. And so just find a way to get him on my team. And if you can't figure out how to use him, then you need to change your scheme or whatever you're doing, however you're coaching, because just let him pin his ears back, get after the quarterback, and when he's healthy, he can do that.
Is he one of the guys we're talking about that's most likely going to be available at 19?
Yeah, I think because he's a pass rusher, the second most important position on your roster, I think there's a very good chance he goes ahead of the Cowboys. Okay. You look at the Redskins, the Packers. But if he is there at 19, I think he deserves to be in that conversation on that short list. They drafted defensive end the first round last year. They just tagged DeMarcus Lawrence. It might not look like a huge or a pressing need on this roster, but again, second most important position. There is no team out there who has ever said, you know what, we have too much pass rush, we don't want it anymore. Get Harold Landry. He can help your football team.
Thank you so much, Dane. You're a treasure.
All right, guys. Take care.
He's at DP Brugler on Twitter. Not only a draft expert, his draft guide coming out shortly. You know, you read his stuff all the time on NFL Draft Scout. He podcasts with Jeff every Tuesday. Trust the tape. You got to download that and listen wherever you get your podcast. It's a great one. And he's also an amateur barbecue pit master. You know, we talk barbecue with Dane all the time. He can bring it.
I think he finds the word amateur to be offensive when you say it.
Do you think that's why he put that on his Twitter bio?
Yeah, yeah. That's a good point.
Okay. Plan.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.